God, I just want to thank you for Christmas time because it's a fun season. It's a fun time of year. Gift giving and the holidays and people's birthdays and celebrating Christmas and presents and gifts and family and doing parties and having good food and all of that wrapped up together. Being off school, there's just a lot of excitement around Christmas time. God, I think most of us here know that underneath all that stuff, there really is a deep meaning to Christmas about the birth of Jesus. And we don't want to lose that. We don't want to forget about it. And sometimes it gets a little familiar. So God, would you just teach us tonight a little bit more, or maybe a different angle or a different perspective on what it meant when you came as a baby to this earth. God, would you teach us tonight about your supernatural power and the miraculous things that you've done and even how you've changed our lives. So God, we thank you for Christmas time. We thank you for the holidays. And everybody prayed and said, amen. Cool. All right, how many of you have ever been a part of a nativity scene, or maybe you've got one at home that you set up? Anybody have like little statues or figurines, or you got like baby Jesus or some wise men? Or yes, okay. Maybe mom's got some stuff, or maybe it's made out of china or crystal, or maybe it's wood. Maybe you've got an ornament or a picture. When I was a boy, we went to a Methodist church, and this Methodist church, one of their favorite things that they would do was called a live nativity, where they'd like do the manger scene with real people and real animals. So one year, actually more than one year, I got to be a shepherd and stand in the manger scene with some real sheep and donkeys, and there was a lady there, and there was a baby there. We were like a live museum exhibit, if that makes sense. So like people would stop by, stop their cars, get out and look, and we're not supposed to like talk, right? So we would like freeze our butts off. We'd have like snow boots on under our shepherd cloak and, you know, winter hats under our shepherd turban thingy, whatever. And, you know, the animals stunk and stepped on your feet, and it was crazy, like a barn scene, right? But it made me think as a boy, wow. Baby Jesus had it rough, man. Like, this wasn't like your Hilton Hotel. This wasn't like, you know, Riverside Hospital. This was like in the back of some inn in a stable that the God of the universe is born to just common stinky people. As that makes it just yeah, weird, right? Like, I don't know if you guys know shepherds, like back in the day, like kind of the garbage men of society back then. Like, shepherds stunk. Why? Because they hung out with the sheep all day, right? You guys have been to a cow pasture, horse barn, right? Ever been to a pig farm, anything like that? Like, it smells like a barn, yeah? And you know, baby Jesus born in a hay barn, loft, in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for the animals, right? They're putting hay in it and wrapping them up in strips of cloth. Like, just that's what they did, you know? Crazy, right? So I wanted to kind of grab that a little bit and say, wow, when I was a boy, it kind of made a little bit more sense when I actually had to stand out in the cold and smell the animals and be around all that. But I wanted to grab the hold of the story a little bit together with you as we kind of read. So I want you guys to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, if you got a Bible there, and we're going to read a little bit. All right, Isaiah, starting chapter 7, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. All right, so that's our first little snippet of this. Do you guys know this is about 700-ish, maybe 750-ish years before Jesus? Isaiah prophesies, telling the future, okay? He's speaking about the future, about Jesus coming, hundreds of years from when he's actually saying it, down the road, and he says something pretty miraculous. If you know your biology, virgins don't give birth to babies. Just saying. That's not how it works, right? And yet, God's like, this is going to happen. And the Messiah is going to be born this way, which was pretty amazing and pretty wild. And why is it a sign? Well, it's a sign from God because it's not normal, because it's supernatural, because it's unusual, because it defies science, right? That God is going to do this. All right, so that's just one little snippet of that. But We're going to turn just a couple pages over to chapter 9, 6 and 7. This is pretty famous. You guys might have heard this before. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. All right, so we get some wild names for Jesus, for God, in this snippet. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pretty wild. That he's going to be this ruler, right? And he's going to come from a specific family line. What family line does Jesus come from? From the line of David, right? So someone who didn't come from the line of David couldn't be Jesus, right? Couldn't be the Messiah. Couldn't be the awaited Savior that people have been waiting for. So here's some markers, okay? If a baby is born not from a virgin, doesn't count, not Jesus. If a baby is born but not from the line of David, doesn't count, not from God. All right, so a few signs, a few markers, right? He's going to have these cool titles, and he's going to happen in a certain way. Again, 700 to 750 years before Jesus, Isaiah writes this prophecy about how the Messiah will come and what will be different about this person. Okay, that's pretty wild, right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you at your table, you're going to pick one of the others that we didn't do, the Bethlehem, shepherds, angels, Christ, or Messiah, to read a story or a prophecy about Jesus' birth. So you're going to pick which one you want to do at your table, then have somebody look it up and read it to your group, and then you're going to answer the questions at the bottom, okay? One basic main question is, what does this story or prophecy reveal about Jesus, his birth, his mission, and God's plan? So then be ready to share with the rest of the group, all right? So maybe the sound booth could put on a little soft music in the background. We'll give you about 5 minutes, read the story, and talk about it as a group, and be ready to share it with the rest of us. Okay, I just read to you guys from Isaiah, and we talked a little bit about prophecy. You guys know that the message of God about his son rescuing all people from their sin was foretold in great detail. The prophets explain things like the time, the place, the circumstances, the virgin birth, his identity and character, and even Jesus' family tree. A lot of details given before he ever came on the scene. And that when he was born, you guys, dozens of prophecies spoken of by the prophets, a whole bunch of prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, even Micah, were exactly fulfilled, which is pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but I cannot tell the future. I don't know if you can. I'm going to guess you cannot. But pretty miraculous that much detail could be given about one man and for it to be accurate and true from multiple sources over hundreds of years. That's pretty awesome. So I want to hear, that was the prophecy thing. I want to hear from you about Bethlehem, the shepherds, angels, and Christ and the Messiah. So would you raise your hand up if you did Bethlehem? Anybody do Bethlehem? You guys did Bethlehem. Okay, we want to hear about Bethlehem. So talk to us. Tell us what you read or maybe even read part of it. Maybe why don't you read Matthew 2 to us. That'd be cool.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this was what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel."
Anybody else have Bethlehem? Want to add to that? No? All right, who has the shepherds? Anybody? Anybody pick the shepherds over there? Did you guys pick shepherds too? All right, I'm going to let you guys talk. Read to us and then tell us what you learned.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So talk to us. What did you learn? What did you find out? What did it mean to you? You guys get that? God for the common people. I like that idea. He didn't show up in the king's palace, right? He didn't even show up in the synagogue at the church, at the temple. He shows up in the hillside, right? In a manger, and to the shepherds get this cool. I mean, if you're a shepherd and you're out watching the stars and an angels appear in the sky, wouldn't you be like freaking out and hitting the ground or like grabbing your sheep and running away? Like, they were terrified. And yet they get this awesome message. Thanks, Bruce. That's great stuff. Okay, anybody else have shepherds? Okay. All right, what's the next one? Angels. Who had angels? Angels, 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 angels. Wow, you guys are all angels. Okay, not really. All right, so we're going to have to break it up so you can all share a little bit, okay? Let's see, are there a couple of verses or just one main one? All right, why don't you guys read a couple of verses and then we'll pass the mic.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men whom his favor rests."
All right, who else had angels? You guys? And you guys? All right, so talk first. Tell the group, what did you learn from that section that you read? What did you guys think about it? Okay, it reveals that he's going to be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's pretty unusual. Okay, not the normal place for babies to be born, right? So another sign for the shepherds to look for, right? Cool. And I don't think angels announce the birth of people very often, maybe ever, just Jesus. That's pretty sweet. Okay, so he's born in the town of David. He's called the Savior, and he's going to bring peace. I got to imagine the people would be looking forward to that. All right, did anybody do Christ? You guys did over there, okay? Sweet. All right, read to us and then talk to us.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found a favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
All right, so obviously this reveals how Jesus was to be born. He was to be born of a virgin Mary who was with Joseph at the time. Well, always. But it also reveals, I think, like the beginning of God's plan for Jesus on earth, like how he came into the earth and how God was going to like fulfill his plan throughout the rest of his life. So yeah.
Did you guys know that Mary was scratching her head being like, "Hey, how's this going to work? Because like I've never been with a guy." And did you know Joseph thought about breaking up with her because he's like, "Maybe she hasn't been faithful to me." Like, and God works it all out, and an angel speaks to Joseph, and the angel speaks to Mary, and God has a family. That's pretty wild. So thanks, guys. That's good stuff. Anybody do the last one, Messiah? No? That's okay. Cool. All right, so here's my big question to you. As you hear everybody talk and kind of process all that stuff, does it affect you at all that, or do you believe it? It's kind of some unbelievable stuff, right? I mean, if you add it all up, that's a lot of stuff, right? A lot of things, a lot of people involved, a lot of history involved. Do you really believe it? Do you believe the story of Jesus' birth? That's pretty wild. And then if it's true, I mean, what if it's really true? Well, then doesn't that just change everything? If God was really wrapped up in a baby and came from heaven to earth to here, And then if his mission really was to rescue you and me, that changes everything, doesn't it? Has anyone ever arrived on the planet like this? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And we're 2,000 years removed, right? This happened a long time ago. And yet we're reading about it, and this stuff is true, I believe, that we read in the Bible. But do you believe it? Do you really believe this wild, crazy story and prophecies and stuff is really true? And if it is, then it's got huge ramifications, huge implications for how we live, right? Wow, God came to the common people, to the messed up, broken, stinky people, to rescue people. Pretty awesome. And having a birthday in December, it kind of feels fun to like celebrate my birthday when we're getting ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday. But I love getting gifts, don't you? Do you guys like getting gifts? And how cool is it that God wraps up Jesus as a gift to the world, which is pretty awesome. Cool. Hey, thanks for jumping into that. That's great. We're going to transition to this second part. All right, so little baby, right? Now we're going to move to this powerful man, all right? We're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus. So if you got a Bible, we're going to jump in and take a look at Mark chapter 5. All right, there's a bunch of miracles that I'm going to let you guys pick here in just a minute, but I'm going to jump in and do this one together. Where Jesus casts out demons. We're going to look at a lot of miracles that Jesus does. Some of them, he shows power over nature. Some of them, he shows power over sickness and disease. Sometimes he shows power over sin and darkness. Power over like the physical world, like over animals or over physical laws of science. Sometimes he shows power over the spiritual realm, which is the one we're going to talk about here. And even power over life and death. So this is a pretty wild story, and it's a little bit long, so track with me. So they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. This is Mark 5, starting in verse 2. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." All right, is that weird? That's just weird. I'm just going to pause there. All right, he gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. That's hilarious and crazy and messed up and weird and funny and sad at the same time. Like, are you guys get that? 2,000 stampeding pigs full of demons run off a cliff and drowned. That's ridiculous. Is that for real? All right, we're going to keep going. All right, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. No kidding. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Okay, they're afraid of Jesus now. Wow, right? That was crazy. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. All right, is that a crazy story? That just sounds like some kind of fantasy novel somebody made up. or was up late, way late with some Mountain Dew one night and just started writing like Jesus fairy tales. You guys, it's not a fairy tale though. Is that crazy that that story happened? And you know what helps me believe that the story happened is the reaction of the people. They're like, yeah, you need to go now. They didn't want, they go away. That was crazy. That was weird. And yet the guy is like relieved and freed. And Jesus, he wants to come with. And Jesus says, no, go tell everybody what I did for you. If you're there that day and you're watching all these, I've never even seen 2,000 pigs, right? Let alone stampeding and running and off a cliff and whatever. Yeah, that's nuts. All right. Let's pause for a second. What do we learn about Jesus right there? Did Jesus care about the guy? Yes. What else do we learn? Does Jesus have the power over demons? Does he? Yes. You know what we also learn? The demons were afraid of Jesus. And they already knew who he was, right? And they knew that he had the power to harm them. You guys know that? Jesus had the power to harm the demons or not, which is wild. And for those of you who love animals, you might be thinking, well, why didn't Jesus care about the pigs? Well, he cared about the man more. Now, that's important, okay? Does that mean God doesn't like animals? No. But it does mean that he elevates the value of people, right? And he set this guy free. So, pretty awesome. Jesus has the power over the spiritual world, over the spiritual realm. He has the power over the forces of darkness. That's pretty awesome. He had so much power, and it freaked the people out so much that they didn't want him to stay in their town anymore, right? And does Jesus beg to stay? No. He gets in the boat and goes. He's like, okay, I'm good. I made my point, right? You guys get this. Sometimes I forget that Jesus can kick butt and that he's like, he really is powerful. And I don't know if you've had experience with the demonic world or evil forces or things like that. But that's pretty wild that he's able to free this man. That makes me believe, wow, maybe he really is God if he can do stuff like that. That's pretty sweet. Okay, now it's your turn. Okay, take 5 minutes. Pick a miracle that you think looks interesting at your table. Okay? You've got a bunch to choose from. Jesus changes water into wine. He heals the paralytic. He raises Lazarus. He calms the storm. He walks on water. He feeds the 5,000. Or he calls Nathaniel. Okay? All right, so decide it as a group. Look it up in your Bible and be ready to share that with our group. Okay? Okay, we're going to do it quick this time. Okay? I don't want you to read the whole story because some of your stories are like pretty long. All right? I just want to hear your summary. So who did changes water into wine? Anybody? Going once, twice. Nope. All right. Who did Jesus heals the paralytic? Over there? Okay. Just give us a quick summary. And what did you learn about Jesus through the story?
So we learned that Jesus has the ability to forgive people's sins. And he can also heal anyone from any kind of disease or disability.
All right. So raise your hand if you have a friend or family member or even yourself that you have a disease or a sickness or an ailment that you wish could be healed. Okay? I think we all could think of somebody, right? Whether it was cancer or a broken leg or blindness or something like that. Pretty awesome that Jesus has the power to heal this guy's paralyzed legs. How wild do you think it was when the dude stood up and walked and picked up his mat and went home? And you knew the guy. Wouldn't that be crazy? Some guy in a wheelchair for his whole life and all of a sudden gets out of the wheelchair and just walks home. Wouldn't you be clapping and then your jaw hitting the ground and being like, wow. You know what I wrestle with about that one? Why doesn't he do it for everybody? He does it for a few people in the Bible. You know, maybe a good 20 or 30 or more. And those are just the ones that got recorded, right? But if he could do that, why doesn't he just go sit down at the hospital and send all the doctors home? Like, I don't understand in my mind why he doesn't do it for everybody, but I also know that it's tied to the person's faith. They had to believe that he could do that, and then they're healed. And not only healed, like Justin said, he has the power to forgive as well. That's pretty awesome. All right, so who had Lazarus? Anybody? Nobody picked Lazarus? That's an awesome story. Okay, if you don't know the story, Lazarus dies in the tomb for like 3 days. Jesus arrives, goes in the tomb, and says, Lazarus, get up. And he raises Lazarus back from the dead. He was in his like mummy clothes. Like he was wrapped in like linens, right? That you do when someone's, you know, back then, you know, now we do a coffin or whatever. But back then they like wrapped him and put him in like a rock tomb or something. Okay, how crazy is that? Your friend dies. 3 or 4 days later, Jesus shows up and he walks out of the grave. Holy cow. This guy's got some power, right? Power over life and death. That's sweet. Totally sweet, right? I mean, I thought healing the dude's paralyzed legs was cool. But Lazarus, way cooler. So nobody read that, had to fill you in. It was sweet. All right, so how about calms the storm? Did you guys do calms the storm? All right, give us a quick summary.
All things obey the power of Jesus, and yet still there are some who doubt him and their faith.
Jesus has the power over nature. That's cool. Who wishes they had the power over nature? He says to the wind and the rain and the storm and the waves, calm down. And they stop. Do you know why we know it's true also again? The disciples' reaction is, who is this guy who even the wind and waves obey him? That's pretty awesome. Okay, who had the next one?
He can control nature, but or put your trust in him. Controls everything.
Okay, so Jesus walks on water. That's pretty cool. And a lot of science people or people who don't believe in Christianity try to say, well, yeah, it was only like 2 inches deep. Not true, okay? Out on the big sea. These guys were fishermen. They would not be afraid to get in the water if it was shallow, okay? Peter gets to walk on water, too, for a little bit until he freaks out, right? Who would like to walk on water? Just saying. That would be totally cool. Okay. All right. So Jesus, again, has the power over nature, over the physical world. Who had feeding the 5,000? Anybody? Going once, twice? No? I think a lot of you know that story. It took a boy's lunch, multiplies the bread and fish to feed a huge, massive, stadium-sized crowd. I mean, that's pretty cool. All right. And then the last one, Jesus calls Nathaniel. Three of you? Okay. It's a short one. Four of you. Okay, so give me a quick summary. Okay, he can see you, he knows who you are, and he values you. Now, here's the crazy thing. Jesus wasn't with Nathaniel, right? That's kind of the miraculous part. So add to that, those of you who read it. Wow, that's deep. Nice. Supernatural part, that he could see and know where Nathaniel was when he wasn't even there. I don't know, some kind of telepathy thing going on, which is like Jesus' like power, kind of cool. But you guys took it to a whole other level, that he knows your heart and he cares for you and that he can help you overcome things. What do you guys want to add to that? Sure. So Jesus has this knowledge of people. He knows their hearts and their minds, and he knows that they put their faith in him. That's cool. What does it say about Nathaniel? What's Nathaniel's reaction to this? Yeah, and it makes me wonder, what was Nathaniel doing under that tree? Like, maybe something he wasn't supposed to? And Jesus is like, dude, I saw you smoking that weed, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what it was. But, like... Are you with me? Like, what if it was something funny and dumb and, like, stupid and sinful and that he wasn't supposed to be doing? And Jesus is like, I got you, dude. I saw you. I know what was going on. He's like, you are God. Like, right? He's caught right. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what he's doing. But what kind of thing would you be doing that you'd be, like, caught red-handed? I don't know. Like, Jesus read your mail. He just knew your heart and what was going on. That's pretty sweet. All right, you guys, we're going to end with that. Here's the bottom line. Check this out. Shh. Jesus is powerful, man. But do you believe it? Do you really believe that he came? Do you really believe that he had the power over nature, over life and death, over disease and sickness and sin and darkness and over the laws of science and nature? I mean, this is crazy, wild. Again, he's proving over and over and over and over again, I am really God. Do you really believe it?